Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good.
Welcome to If Nothing Changes, Nothing Changes, Life Coaching with Deidra. I'm Deidra, your host, coming to you live on Inner Light Radio, broadcasting straight out of Richmond, California. Now, I know you could have listened to any of the thousands of podcasts on the radio, internet, or even satellite. So let me start off first for thanking you for picking mine. I am an organic therapist, personal mental trainer, self-esteem booster, good-hearted devil's advocate, relationship guru, archaeologist of the soul, and a boss, all rolled up into one, here to give you my perspective on life by guiding, deepening, and challenging your thoughts while influencing you with innovative, insightful information, not forgetting to motivate, provoke, and influence your actions while empowering, educating, and entertaining you. My show will be talking about life, dreams, relationships, love, happiness, health, wealth, fitness, careers, family, and everything else that goes along with all of that. This month, I'm continuing my women's health and wellness series. We have been talking about this for months now. Your new self-care habits should now include spa treatments, vagina health, cannabis healing, sound therapy, exercise and stretching, mental and emotional wellness, hair therapy, being part of a good, healthy community, getting your finances together, and today I want to talk about healing your inner child. For those that don't know, the concept of the inner child has been defined as all the past hidden ages within a person's life journey, consisting of memories and emotional layers from each stage of development that influence the formation of identity. Sigmund Freud emphasized the lasting impact of early childhood experiences on adult emotional life, especially unresolved conflicts and repressed memories. Although Freud did not use the term inner child, his work laid the foundation. Carl Jung expanded on these ideas, introducing the divine child as a symbol of innocence and potential, and later the wounded child. In the 70s and 80s, the inner child became a prominent theme in therapeutic and self-help literature focused on healing childhood trauma. We know if our needs weren't met when we were young, those memories and experiences can have a way of sticking around and resurfacing long into our adulthood. That's because who we've become as adults is directly informed by our childhood experiences. No matter what we faced in the past, we all have an inner child that needs taking care of, especially if we've had past experiences that we haven't healed from or fully processed. Inner child work is the process of acknowledging, understanding, and healing the wounds of your inner child. This ongoing process requires unlearning past behaviors and replacing them with new ones that reinforce positive coping skills and present-day beliefs about who you are as a person. It involves taking inventory of your past experiences and evaluating how they make you feel in the present day. By recognizing the pain points of your life and areas you'd like to improve, you can override the ways you have normally respond to other people, circumstances, and events that cause you emotional triggers. On one side, it's easy to see how even the most positive experiences you've had inform who you are today. But the negative experiences you've had in particular can make the process of healing your inner child more challenging. Because of this, healing your inner child often involves some form of therapy or coaching. And today we have one of the best inner child coaches in the Bay with us. My guest today is a self-reflection coach, storyteller, and healer committed to helping people reconnect with themselves. rooted in her Cameroonian heritage and shaped by years of service in human care, Lyra supports families, seniors, and individuals in crisis, guiding them toward stability, emotional clarity, and meaningful resources. She is the creator of the Self-Reflection podcast, where she shares healing conversations, self-love practices, and moments of truth that inspire people to slow down and look within. She also supports her community through healing workshops, all designed to nurture mind, body, and soul. At the heart of everything she does is a simple mission: to inspire, to uplift, and to create safe spaces where people can heal, grow, and trust themselves again. Lyra, thanks for joining me today. I've been looking forward to talking to you.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. Wow, what an introduction. Those words about myself. Wow, thank you so much. You know, I'm super excited to be here over the week as we have been building up to this moment. I have had some really amazing conversations with you, and I cannot wait for us to get into our conversation today. And hello to everyone listening on the other side.
Thank you. Before we get started, tell me a little bit about your Self-Reflection podcast.
Yeah, that's my baby. Self-Reflection podcast, you know, there's several reasons why I went on this journey. But Self-Reflection podcast at its core, it's a mental health podcast where we talk about our feelings, our emotions. I have had people that come on the podcast and say, you know, it feels like a therapeutic session at the end of the conversation. You know, so many people find healing throughout our conversations. So that is what Self-Reflection podcast is based on. Also, it came from me also going through my own struggles, facing my own depression, finding ways to heal myself, finding ways to understand who I am as a person, as a woman, as a sister, you know, and also as a spiritual being on this planet, because on Self-Reflection podcast, we also talk about spirituality a little bit as well. So overall, that's what Self-Reflection podcast is. We interview all type of people, whether they're professionals in the mental health field, everyday people that have incredible journey, incredible stories to share with our community to uplift one another, or entrepreneurs that are in their business, whether they're established entrepreneurs or people that are just looking to start a business or are just in the beginning stage of their business. We interview them because mental health at the end of the day is at the core of everything that we do and as people.
I love that. I am looking forward to being a guest on it myself. So I'm getting a little nervous because you use a camera and I can hide behind, you know, no camera here on my own. So, you know, you got me already trying to figure out, what do I wear? Does this make me look fat? What am I going to do with my hair? So, oh my God. So we'll think about that later. So anyway, let's get started on you, my friend. Tell us, Queen, how did you get interested in coaching people who want inner child healing?
How I got interested in this work. Well, I thought I was going to be a teacher when I went to college. I went in for early childhood studies and human development. So that's what I was going for. I was going to teach children. But once I started doing my field hours, I recognized that, oh no, I don't want to be here just yet. Maybe when I retire, in my 60s, 70s, 80s, I can go back and teach some young children, in a classroom. But that's where all like the beginning of my journey started when I went to college. And after that, I graduated in the middle of the pandemic and I came home. I've always been someone that, people will come to for support, advice, my insight, my perspective on things. So I feel like you know, they say when God gives you a gift, right, no matter how much you suppress it, it will always resurface in some way, some shape. And I think that's what it is for me. Healing is something that I think I was gifted. To me, I feel like it is a gift to be able to support other people on their own personal journeys. So, you know, this gift always has been in me. And when I came home, I graduated in 2020 and there was no jobs, right? Even when I went back and looked for some jobs to teach at a school, everything was kind of shut down. So I went into doing, working as a caregiver at a senior facility. And my first client was actually a school counselor, you know, and I will always express myself to him. And he reminded me that, you know, I have this gift in me. I have this gift to support people on their journey. Mind you, this guy was like in his maybe 80s or so. And he was asking me for, you know, inner child healing. And mind you, he was a counselor for several years, over 20 something years at a middle school. So to be able to have that opportunity to work with him, he just reminded me who I was. And then I end up going into a coaching program, Conscious World. That's what the program is called. And I learned about neurolinguistic, a little bit more about coaching. And from there, I've always wanted to, you know, just continue this path. So that's where I am today.
I love it. Well, the path has gotten you to be, to help a lot of people, just like you say, being able to use your skills and give to others, especially after we have gone through the journey ourselves, so we can be very empathetic about what people are feeling and experiencing. So what makes a person realize they need inner child healing?
You know, I would say all of us, we need inner child healing because at one point we were all children. That's the perspective I would come with. However, when we are talking about individuals specifically, you know, inner child shows up in our adult life, right? And sometimes it could show up as anger, fear, depression, anxiety. You know, not to say that those things are often related or are mostly related with our inner child. But, you know, when you recognize yourself not being able to self-soothe, not being able to control your emotions or getting triggered very easily, right? That might just stem from your inner child, and also how you were raised, right? As a child, if you grew up in an aggressive environment and you find yourself as an adult being extremely aggressive, you know, that is a direct connection to your inner child. So that's somehow you can recognize that you need inner child healing work. I will use an example here. A lot of my beautiful sisters on the reality shows, like on the Zeus Network, all the baddie shows and so forth, right? A lot of them, I feel like there's a lot of trauma and there's a lot of pain and there's a lot of anger that most of them are holding. And that's why they, when we watch those shows, as soon as someone says something to them, they immediately, you know, react instead of responding in that space. So if you find yourself extremely aggressive or easily triggered or do not know how to self-soothe, you might just need inner child work.
And, you know, I'm glad that you were saying that, because a lot of those reality shows, because they need inner child work, that's usually why people can identify with their reactions and sometimes with their hurt, because yeah, they know that there's something else laying down and they can, you know, how they say game recognize game. So yeah, that's why yeah, those are so famous. Now, when I told my moms and my parent groups that I work with that you were coming on, they all had the same question. And it is, what do parents need to do to prevent their adult child from needing inner child healing?
What do parents need to do to prevent their adult child from, the second part of the question?
From needing inner child healing.
I think we can, as parents, there's only so much you can do, right? And I would say that that is that relationship starts from early on, because parents are the primary caregivers of children, right? So that relationship has to start from the beginning when you have the baby, and even before you have the baby, to be able to I can't say you can fully prevent what happens to your child, because the world is going to take course as well. But as a parent, when you are pregnant, or when you recognize that you're pregnant, you start to nurture the baby from the fetus, right? You start talking to the baby. You start singing to the baby. You play meditation to the baby, healing sounds to the baby. You connect yourself to people that are supportive, that are healing, because oftentimes women, we hold on to stress, right? And sometimes, like, for example, when you are pregnant and you are in a toxic relationship, right, that baby is experiencing everything that you're going through, even though the baby is still in the womb, right? The baby is feeling all the emotions that the mother is feeling. The baby is feeling the excitement when the mom gets excited, right? The baby is feeling every single emotion. So to be able to support the child and start to nourish their emotion from early on, it starts in the womb, right? It starts with the way you speak to the baby. It starts with the way you connect with the baby. You know, oftentimes, especially young mothers, right, they don't know how to connect with the baby because that is the first time they're being a parent, right? So when you are pregnant, or if you're a mother in this space, when your child is still young, that's when you start to build the foundation. Because study has also shown that a child's brain develop at least 85 to 90% by the time that they turn age 5, right? So by the time your child is eight years old, their adult brain has already developed 90%. Everything that they're going to need in this world to survive has already formed. So those early age are crucial if you want to be able to support them or prevent them from experiencing tremendous childhood trauma later on, right, where they have to do this work. So it starts in the beginning, and that means you talking kindly to the child, you nurturing them, you giving them affirmations, you speaking life into them or light into them, you spending quality time with them, showing them what emotional regulation looks like, showing them what it looks to love yourself as an individual and as a community as well. You know, and not to segue here, because when we look into society, everything that we are seeing in our society today that is negative or dark or evil, right? Those are all things being done by humans. Those are all things being done by us. And where do we get those things? From our society, from our community, from our immediate families, right? No child comes out of the womb and say, I'm a racist human, right? We learn those behaviors, we learn those patterns. So to be able to break the generational cycle, whether if it's globally or just from an individual perspective, right? It starts at home, where the parents nurtures the child.
And you know what? The emotion that you put into explaining about nurturing, guiding, loving, and putting your baby in a really good environment, it never stops. It's not supposed to stop. If we want to pour and influence into our baby so that we keep them off of a therapist couch, we make sure that they don't need a lot of inner child healing or, you know, those things, is that we have to keep them. And it's not in a protective bubble. It is in a loving bubble. Yeah. It's not in something where I'm not going to allow you to experience the world, but is that I am always emotionally there and emotionally safe for you to bring any type of thing that happens to you, and we can work through it together. And that, again, it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop at 18. It doesn't stop ever. And I think that that's what we do sometimes as parents, is we step back a little bit from our parenting as our children get older. And okay, I encourage parents to do it just the opposite. Step in more when your child gets older, instead of allowing a brain, as you just said, 80% to make good decisions. Yeah. They're not going to make good decisions at 11 and 12 and 16. And I don't care how many A's they get in school. They're still children and they still need to be taught, influenced, poured into, and gently nourished forever. So I'm glad that you said that. I can already see my phone is blowing up. So I'm sure that there's a lot of whole text messages that I will get. But thank you for getting us straight on that. As a coach in this field, what should your clients expect during your sessions?
You know, I think one of the things I really pride myself on is my ability to be able to hold other people's emotions, be able to not only hold other people's emotions, but be able to read people's emotions without them actually telling me what they are going through. So with me, I think a client would expect me being able to have the emotional bandwidth to hold that space for them. And I've also recognized, especially working as a case manager in Alameda County and working directly with mothers and parents, right? I have recognized that a lot of the times, they don't really need, you know, my input or advice. Most of the time, they just need somebody to listen, right? They just need someone to hear them, someone to see them. So that's something that if I am working with you, that's something that you see is that I provide the space where you know you're being heard, you know you're being seen, and also your emotions are nurtured as well. And on top of us working on the goal that you came into the session with, right? Because everybody comes in a little bit different. Some people might come in and want parenting skills. Some people might come in, want to actually tackle the emotions that they are feeling. And other people might come and want to work on how they can show up in the relationships that they have for themselves. So based on that, I show up the way that you need me to show up. You know, I guess I will use the word client first, but it's always client first with my approach, right? My opinions technically don't matter, right? What I think about you don't matter. What I want to say does not matter if it does not align with the goals that you have for yourself and how you're trying to see your healing journey, right? I may have my opinions. I may say one or two things, but if it does not align with what you want, what is the point? If it does not align with what you're trying to go for, right? And then it's irrelevant because it won't work and everyone is different. So I use the, you know, I guess one thing I say is one size doesn't fit all approach, right? Healing method.
Well, and that's good to know because, you know, that being able to individualize it is exactly what happens because people are just so different. Mm-hmm. Now, I know it's necessary to reparenting is a necessary tool. It's also, you know, called reparenting. Sometimes we call it relearning, right? Yes. But it is still a necessary tool during this process. Can you tell us why that's so important?
So when we go into reparenting our inner child, it's less about you being control or being in control of your entire self, right? Not controlling or trying to micromanage everything that you're doing, right? Reparenting, it's more about you seeing the child that you were, you giving yourself what you needed as a child, right? You providing the validation for yourself. Maybe you grew up in a household that told you, you know, what you had to say was not important, right? And now when you are reparenting, you have to go back and now to start to give yourself the things that you miss. Because when you don't reparent yourself from this perspective and you avoid the child that is within you, right? It creates conflict between your adult self and your inner child, because the more you run away from your inner child and you suppress it, the more it chases you and it starts to get louder and louder and louder. It's like our inner self critic voice, right? The more we minus or dismiss that inner critic voice, it gets louder and it gets louder and it gets louder. So that's what it is. And that's why it's important for you to go back and repairing your inner child so that it's not showing up in your adult life and you're not showing up as your inner child. Many people in our society today are stuck in their early childhood body, right? A lot of times people say that you see a 35-year-old person, right? The body is a 35-year-old, but the mindset, the emotional well-being or the emotional capacity that they have and the awareness that they have is of the 8-year-old, wherever the trauma happened, wherever they got suppressed at. So the reason why it's important or why inner child parenting is important is that you don't allow it to show up in your adult body. Not to say that you neglect the inner child, but you bring it along with you. Because if you don't, it shows up in your relationship. It shows up in your self-worth. It shows up in your emotional health. And also, it shows up in the way that you make decisions as well. And, you know, in as a human being, the only thing that we truly have in this life is will, right? The will to either do something, take action, or the will not to do it. So that's why it's important to be able to understand that it, reparenting your inner child is actually a plus for you, and it's a necessary tool that we should all have.
I'm glad that you said a little bit about it coming into relationships, because I think that that's a lot of the things that I know with the people that I work with that they're finding is that, you know, the people who are doing a lot of work on themselves, you know, whether it's inner child or whatever it is, going seeing a therapist, all this stuff, they're matching up with people who have not. And now they can really see how it comes into a relationship, because it's like all this stuff that I've healed myself from, mm-hmm. or I'm healing myself from. If this other person hasn't done it, it's almost like we're incompatible. Yes. Right. Because we're not going to be, just like you said, on the same emotional wavelength. And that's going to be a problem in any relationship, even if it's a friendship. So I'm glad that you brought that up. Can you tell us what's the difference between inner child healing and shadow work?
So inner child healing, you know, I would say they're somewhat similar. Some people would say they're one and the same, mm-hmm. right? Just like up is down and down is up, in is out and out is in. But for the sake of our conversation today, you know, when we talk about inner child healing, we talk about emotional wounds, we talk about rejection, we talk about abandonment issue or challenges as a child, we talk about neglect for an inner child, right? We talk about the unmet needs that you didn't receive as a child, right? So a question that one could ask themselves is, what did I need when I was 5 years old? And this question must be specific to the specific healing that you want to have for yourself. You can't just ask, what did I need as a 5-year-old? That's a 12-month period of time, right? What period of time are you talking about? You know, what are you talking about? So it has to be specific. For example, let's say you were a child that got physically abused as a child, right? Now you want to ask yourself, what did I need as a child when I was physically abused? You know, in that space, right? What did I need? What kind of attention did I need? What kind of love did I need? What kind of emotional support did I need? What kind of relationships did I need, right? As a child, when you are looking to heal that inner child. So that's the difference. And then when it comes down to shadow work's focused more on the hidden parts of ourselves, the parts that we have suppressed, you know, all from what I've just mentioned about healing the inner child, right? The unmet needs, the abandonment issue, all those rejections that we have suppressed down and we put on this mask as adults, right? Because most of us, that's what's happening. And if not all of us, that's what's happening, is shadow work now brings those to the forefront and it exposes the parts of you that you have suppressed for so long. And shadow work, when you see some symptoms that you can see for yourself, is like when you're jealous, right? Jealousy is part of envy, and envy comes from love, right? And maybe that love is something that you didn't receive as a child. So now you are jealous about whatever you're jealous about. it's just because you love that thing so much, right? You admire it, but now it, because you have suppressed your inner child for so long, and now it's not showing up as jealousy. And it goes same for anger. It goes same for insecurity, right? When you find yourself trying to be in control, that's another part of shadow work that needs to be done. Also, you can see shadow work in the form of our ego, right? When someone is functioning more from an ego perspective. And I just want to touch on this. Ego is a good thing, right? If you use your ego for good, for example, if you use your ego for your self-confidence, for your self-esteem, right? The way you show up in this world, if you use your ego for that, if you use your ego for good to be a leader that leads people the right way, quote unquote, because there's no right or wrong way to lead, but to lead people in a righteous way, I could say, right? If you use your ego for that, that is amazing. That is great. But however, when you are working on your shadow work, we see this in we call them narcissists, right? Which narcissist is just an inner child that is also broken in the inside, but yet they use their ego to mask the inner child that they have yet to heal, right? So those are the difference, right? I know I said a lot here, but if you're looking at yourself and you're trying to figure out, do I need more of a shadow work or do I need more of a inner child healing? When you talk about inner child, ask yourself, do I feel neglected, right? In my relationship, am I neglected? Am I neglecting myself as well? Are my needs being met? Am I setting healthy boundaries? Do I feel rejection from myself or from other people, right? And then when you look at shadow work, ask yourself, am I unconsciously repeating the same patterns that I've been repeating for years? Am I insecure? Do I feel angry, or do I get angry very easily, or do I feel jealous as well? You know, shadow work is about the parts that we have denied ourselves from.
Yeah, I think that definitely when you work on one, it's almost inevitable that you're going to touch on the other.
Yes.
You know what I mean? They're almost like, Siamese twins. They're interlocked, you know, to the point where once, you know, any work that you do on one is going to affect the other. And I always tell people shadow work is more of you, seeing how your adult self is dealing with all that you didn't receive from your inner child. You know what I mean? That's kind of like why they interface with each other, are kind of connected. So let's say, okay, we've come to you. I'm feeling good. Or I'm actually have been working with you for a while and I'm feeling some type of way. How does a person that has healed their inner child, what are you expecting? What should they be expecting to feel like?
When you have healed your inner child, there's this lightness that comes with you. And the lightness comes because you are living through your inner child. You know, you feel good, you feel inner peace, right? There's this inner peace that you feel for yourself. You feel a little bit more grounded. You don't get triggered easily, or you are able to recognize when you are about to get triggered. And then you can now start to use all the tools that you have learned to get to that place where you are, right? Because the goal, when you have healed, it's awareness, right? When you're able to become aware of the fact that something is about to trigger you and you're able to walk the other way, not to say that you're running away from the conflict, is that you have the emotional awareness of the fact that it's unnecessary to deal with the conflict, right? You can now make a different choice. So that's how you should feel. You should feel this also like joy, like a child again. You should be wanting to play. Your inner child shows up in the way that you also dress, the way that you comb your hair. Maybe you were a kid and you love wearing, your favorite cartoon was SpongeBob. I grew up in the SpongeBob era. Yeah. So your favorite cartoon was SpongeBob and you used to wear SpongeBob with everything. Your lunchbox was SpongeBob, your t-shirts were SpongeBob. As an adult, you find yourself wearing a SpongeBob t-shirt every now and then, right? That is you allowing your inner child to come and evolve. And that's how it feels. It feels really light. You know, and not to say that it doesn't show up sometimes in the dark side, but once it shows up, you don't froze or freeze, right? You don't suppress it. You actually welcome it. You open up to it. You ask it, what do I need, or what does my inner child need in this moment? It becomes more of a relationship. It's like you dating yourself all over again.
And I'm glad you said that, because it's, you know, when you're dating yourself, as you say, it's because you're interested again, you love yourself again, and you know that some of those past things that have been in your head are not true. That they've been told to you by someone who possibly wasn't loving you correctly at the time. So now you know how to love yourself correctly. So now you can love yourself and keep feeding it then to yourself. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So I love that you said that. Once you are healed, now I'm healed. I'm feeling good. Okay, girl, I'm on top of the world. I'm, you know, as you say, we have just discussed, we're loving ourselves and stuff. How do I protect my inner child moving forward? How do you know, make sure that I don't, you know, have to go through another cleaning again, so to speak?
One, I would say the first thing is bring them along with you. Mm. Everywhere you go, bring them along with you. Be playful. Have fun with your inner child. Let them lead sometimes, because that's what you need. Your adult self is a little bit serious. You know, you have work, you have kids. If you're a mother, you have X, Y, and Z to take care of. So I would say bring them along with you. Let them lead at times. Let them be playful. And also set healthy boundaries. Whatever you're setting boundaries with friends, family members, co-workers, and most importantly with yourself, set healthy boundaries, because from you setting healthy boundaries, it shows your inner child that you respect them, because most of the time children don't get that respect as if they're quote-unquote humans, right? We see them as children, but when you are able to respect your inner child, right, now they're like, oh, I feel seen. So now they fool you up more. Your inner child is supposed to give you energy, right? Because children have endless energy. So that's what it is. You know, most of the time when we see adults, they're dragging their feet, they're moping, they're sad. Oftentimes, right, they let life overshadow them. But when you function from that place of an inner child and you allow your inner child to be more present in your life, right, you have a little bit more energy in your step, in your pep. And also when you see a child, they look free. And that's what it should feel like when you heal yourself and when you're protecting it, right? That boundary is going to allow you to protect that.
And I think one of the things I would definitely want to add in there is that once you have gone through any type of inner work, once you have started working on yourself, it is very important that you make sure you are careful of who you bring back in your circle, who do you allow to share and express and interact with this new love that you have for yourself, right? And so it's also time to clean out the closet, so to speak. Do you find that people sometimes the relationships change once someone has found love for their inner child? Can you talk a little bit about that, how it could possibly change a little bit?
Absolutely. You know, the most obvious one is the interest, right? What you guys were interested in as young children, you don't find interest in those things anymore. Not to say that you don't love them, not to say that you don't love the thing, right? But you just don't find interest in it because you no longer align with that, right? Because a lot of times most of us are functioning from our trauma. So we align ourselves with the things that we are familiar with, all the traumatic things. That's why a lot of times we find ourselves going back in the same repeated cycle when it comes down to relationships, because those are what we're familiar with. Those are the things that feels comfortable, right? But those aren't the things that are healthy and, you know, well for us, right? So when you've healed yourself, you no longer find, you know, the alignment in the things that you used to do. And sometimes it comes with the people that you used to be around. And I think one thing people have to recognize, and I have to do this for myself, is not to feel guilty that I don't have interest in the same things that I used to do, right? I don't have interest in the same activity or the same people that I used to be around. And that's something that took a lot of like reminder of self, like, hey, it's okay not to feel guilty that you don't want to go that route or you don't want to do that. You know, it's nothing bad about that person. It's nothing bad about that group. It's nothing bad about the activity. But it's more about what aligns with you the most in the moment, right? And also giving yourself that permission. We have to open ourselves up, to give ourselves permission. Many of us look for validation from the outside. Many of us look for people to say, it's okay, you can do that, right? But when you're doing this type of work, when you're doing shadow work or inner child healing work, you have to get to a place where you feel comfortable giving yourself permission. Because the most important, I guess, validation, permission that you can seek from is from within yourself, right? Nobody else lives your life for you. Even if they walk with you hand to hand, step by step, nobody else is living your life. So you have to be okay with saying, you know, not today. I'm going to sit home today. Not today. I'm going to hang out over here instead of going over there, and not feel guilty about it. Because guilt is one of those things that a lot of people carry with them. And guilt is heavy, right? Guilt is heavy, which we could talk about forgiveness at the end of this conversation. But guilt and forgiveness goes hand in hand, because many people don't forgive themselves. So they carry those guilt. And because they carry those guilt, it becomes their identity. And because it becomes their identity, now that is the pattern that they live in over and over and over. So I guess what I'm trying to say is, give yourself permission and do not feel guilty for choosing a different path. Because the more you become aware, the more you become conscious, the more you heal yourself, you are shedding the skin that no longer fits the new identity or the new body of yours. And you have to be okay accepting that new self, right, to be able to take the next step in your healing journey.
I love that you said about the guilt, because sometimes the way you phrased that was perfectly, because sometimes it will be the claiming of that guilt where we're acting like we still need to keep associating with somebody that we know is not good for us, but it may be because of their title. Right. It may be because of it's a sibling, or, you know, it's my parent or something like that. But just like you were saying, we have to have those boundaries where now I know that it's okay for me. What I tell people, it's okay to love from a distance. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. Everybody ain't got to, you know, be all up in you or around you and all that type of stuff, especially when you know, just like you said, we're no longer in alignment. Yeah. How you live your life, you love it, keep it over there, it's fine for you. But yeah. Now how I have decided that I want to change guilt-free, right, into this new walk that I want, I would appreciate it. People would just respect it too, but most people always want to keep pulling you back.
Yeah, and I think that's okay when people pull you back, right? I don't think that is a bad thing in my perspective, right? I think that when people pull you back, it's a moment for you to be that's where the awareness comes in. It's like, I used to like this thing and I still probably find interest in it, right? But how can I take that same thing and now bring it into my new world and remodel it or reshape it so that I could still enjoy it? Or, you know, how can I, you know, reposition it so that it's not the old way that I used to do it, but now it comes with me in a new way? Because oftentimes we think we have to let go and neglect all the things that doesn't align with us. To me, I feel like that is me cutting a little piece of me that I actually still enjoy and I want to bring with me. But how can I bring it with me in this new now? And that's why it's also important to be able to understand the people that you have in your circle or have around you. You know, like, okay, this is my friend that I like to turn up with. This is my sister that I like to talk about emotional healing with. This is my cousin that I like to go to the rodeo with. This is person that, you know, I could just sit with and don't have to say much with. And you have to be able to know the roles of the individuals that you have in your life, right? So that when you are healing and you're moving forward, right, those people, if they don't fit that new space, how do you connect with the new people in your now life, that not replacing those people, but now just bringing them into the new roles that you still need, right? You know, that's how I see that, right? It's okay to get pulled back. And sometimes getting pulled back reminds you of where you came from, reminds you of how far you have come, and reminds you that, hey, I don't want to be here. You know, this doesn't feel good for me. This no longer feels good. It does no longer serve me or serve the purpose that I'm on or the mission that I'm on. You know, and that's how, and also another way you can recognize if you are around the right group, or if you are doing the right thing is, how do you feel when you exit that conversation, right? Do you feel that tension on your neck when you talk to that person after you leave, right? Those are some of the signals you can start to see for yourself, right? When you leave a conversation, do you feel excited? Do you feel inspired? Do you feel uplifted, right? Do you feel motivated? Can you take on the world after leaving a conversation, right? Those are the type of conversation you recognize that, okay, I could stay here longer. I can maybe, you know, spend 2 minutes with you, and that's okay. And that 2 minutes is perfectly fine.
Right. And another thing, when you're talking about the people in our circle, and it is also sometimes, especially the people from our past, they will see the change and they will think that you are now thinking that you're better than, you know, better than them now. Like, you know, since your interests have changed, it looks like, oh, well, you ain't good. You thinking you too good and all this other good stuff. I always tell my clients, take that as a compliment, because now they can actually see that, yes, we are no longer in alignment. And I'm moving differently. So yeah. It's not, you know, it's not a bad thing. It is exactly what you're saying. Like, hey, I forgive myself when I was living like this, but now I'm moving like this. And, you know, you can think what you want to think, but I'll take that as a compliment if you can see my change. So that's a good thing. Okay. I do want to take just a couple of minutes, because just because you brought it up and trying to tease us a little bit about how important forgiveness is in this walk. Can you enlighten us a little bit more on where you were going to go with that?
Yes, you know, I've seen some stuff on social media on forgiveness. A lot of times people, it's like, I would never forgive a person, right? And, you know, despite what it is, I would never forgive X, Y, and Z, right? And I also want to say, like, I do want to hold space for anything that has happened to anyone, right? What if it's severe trauma or something really mild? And when I do speak about forgiveness, I also want to hold space for the fact that just because you're forgiving someone doesn't mean you have to forget what happened, right? Mm. Because the mind will remember if it wants to remember, whether we like it or not. The mind does what it wants at times if we don't have control over it. And even sometimes when we do have control over our mind, it still does what it wants to do. So just because you're forgiving doesn't mean that you accept what happened or you give permission to what happened. However, I do want to talk about forgiveness in the sense of when you forgive, what if you're forgiving another person or you're forgiving yourself, when you go down that path, it is so healing. I believe forgiveness is at a core of every healing journey, right? Because when you forgive, you free yourself, right? You might free the other person, right? You might allow the other person to go, but when you forgive, you free yourself from thinking about that person. You free yourself from thinking about that thing. You free yourself from the burden that you carry, from the shame that you carry, from the anxiety, the insecurity, the unresolved emotions that you continue to carry over and over. When you forgive, you begin to like live in that God-like state, right? That what we people might call it a third dimension, a fourth dimension, or even the nine consciousness state, right? When you forgive, there's some type of transition that happens to you that aligns your frequency with the God-like frequency, because the reality is we're all made out of love, right? And when you forgive, you begin to return back to that love. And that's what people don't really, I think people miss in our society today, is forgiveness is healing. It's the number one healing medicine in this entire world. There is no other power that is as strong as forgiveness other than love. And when you forgive, you love. When you love, you forgive. They go hand in hand.
Let me explain something to you. You need to put music behind all of that you just said, because that was beautiful. You need to have some type of music and have that so people can just hear that in their head all the time with some great music behind it. Girl, that was a whole statement in itself. Okay, moved me. So thank you for clearing that for us, for even bringing that up, because that was a piece that definitely needed to be brought up today. And I'm glad that you recognize that it was important. So sometimes we have all kind of, you know, this is for the ladies, but I know that, you know, inner child can be for men as well. This just happens to be women wellness. So, and we have women who just like to work on themselves and don't necessarily like to go out, as they say, and put their business out there, as they say. Can you give us three ways for those self-starters to connect to their inner child to start their healing process if they're going to do it by themselves?
Yeah, I would say one thing that we've been talking about is reconnect with your inner child, right? Start the journey of going back to your inner child and asking them, how can I be here for you? How can I support you? And this could start with you just sitting in silence. First thing you wake up in the morning, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, maybe sometimes even 1 minute. That's all you need. 30 seconds sometimes is asking your inner child and reconnecting with that part of yourself. How can I show up for you? How can I be here for you? Right? What do you need in this moment? Right? Because in my world, the only moment that truly exists is now. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters 10 years ago, and nothing else matters in the future, right? Not to say that you neglect either one of them, but, you know, the only moment that exists is now. And the only time that you can support yourself or rebuild yourself or reconnect with yourself is in the present moment. So asking yourself, what do my inner child needs now? Because they're still there. That 5-year-old is still there. That 8-year-old is still there. That 10-year-old is still there, right? That 2-year-old that perceived or saw the abuse that happened at the home, it's still there. So asking them, what do they need in this now, right, will allow you to begin to rebuild connection with that inner child. And then another way that you can like connect with your inner child is give yourself what you miss, right? The other day I had a workshop and one of the mothers was expressing that when she was a little girl, you know, their uncle was like, you can't ride a bicycle. You're a girl. Girls don't ride bicycle. So now that she's an adult, she went ahead and bought herself a bicycle. Still learning how to ride the bicycle. But, you know, giving yourself what you miss as a child, right? That is that reparenting part as well, is give yourself what you needed as a child and be okay with doing that. And sometimes that you might have grew up, you know, in poverty, not have the money. But now if you have a job and you have something small, buy yourself whatever you needed at that moment. It might not be something luxury, but just get yourself that little thing that you need. Also, speak kindly to yourself, right? When you're reparenting yourself, you have to be gentle. You have to be understanding. You have to be empathetic to the person that you're caring for. It's just like talking to your best friend. When you go talk to your best friend, you're not arguing with them. You're not trying to fuss and fight, right? Especially when they're going through a challenging time. You ask them, how can I be here for you? How can I support you? Can I hug you? You cuddle them. You snug them, right? That's the same type of relationship you want to build with yourself. Is speak kindly to yourself and show yourself love and empathy and compassion and be okay being loving and kind to yourself, you know, especially in our world today. Because what happens is as we grow up as children, we begin to face all the challenges that happens in this world. And now we start to suppress ourselves and neglect ourselves, right? And because we have to deal with, you know, the bills and X, Y, and Z, right? The hustle and bustle of society. So as you're reparenting yourself and you are healing with this inner child, right? You want to be able to slow down, break it down, give yourself the guidance that you needed as a child, right? And that starts with you talking to yourself in a kind manner. The third thing that I'm going to mention here is, you know, do something that you used to love as a child. Like if you used to love going swimming, go swimming, right? And if you used to like to dance, go dancing. Me as a little girl, I love to dance. Everybody, when I went to parties, everybody knew like, hey, this girl is about to dance. Like there was no stopping me. My cousin used to call me Shakira because I would dance my tail off, right? So do the things that you love to do, you know? And also I would even add on top of this, do something just for the heck of it. Do something that does not have meaning, purpose. And when I say do something that like that, it is something healthy, right? Because we're talking about healthier, but do something that doesn't have any meaning, doesn't have any purpose behind it just because you're doing it. And that's because that's how children are. Children oftentimes just do. They don't look around to seek for permission. If a child wants to climb a chair, they're going to climb that chair. If they want to climb on top of the table, they're going to climb that table, right? They're not looking around like, oh, it's mom going to tell me. They're going to climb, and then you have to tell them, get down, and so forth. So do something just because.
I love those stacks. We got a couple of more minutes before we have to get out of here and start this wonderful Friday, especially here in the Bay Area. It's absolutely beautiful outside. So I do want to you give us, what are some self-care techniques that you find that are important, right, for you mentally and physically that you do when you help your clients, for you? Because sometimes taking on this type of work, it really kind of drains us a little bit. So we need to take care. So what do you do for you that people can also steal for themselves?
Oh, I love this part. I am getting into the space where I don't do anything that I don't want to do. And what I mean by that is I try to do things that aligns with my natural frequency, my natural nature, who I am as a person, from a physical standpoint, a mental standpoint, and a spiritual standpoint, right? Because when the more that I realize that the things that I do that aligns with me, that feels good when I'm doing it, right? The more energy I have, the more free I have, the more at peace I have. But when I recognize that when I would do things that didn't align with me for self, and this is in general, just for self-care, when I would do things that didn't align with me, right? In society, it felt heavy. I would think about it over and over and over. I would think about, why did I do that? Why did I say like that? Why this? Why that? Right? But the more that I do things that align with me, no matter how challenging or how difficult it is, right, it still feels right because I'm doing something that aligns with my innate being, you know. And then another thing that I do for myself is journaling. I do a lot of journaling. I write a lot. There's a lot of writing everywhere in my house. So I do a lot of writing. I go on walks. I like my walks. I take at least like 30 minutes or 45 minute walks, at least twice to three times a week, right? And this is not even including my workout. I like to work out as well. Right now, I'm currently on a 90 day workout journey, right? And I set myself, which is bringing up the 90 day, I give myself little like challenges to do. That's one thing I do. And it's a weird thing to say for self-care, but when you're able to get those little tiny wins, like when I work out for one day, I feel great. And to me, that is a big win because when I'm able to get that small workout in, it feels amazing. And it feels like I accomplished something. And those tiny incremental wins adds on. And those are the things that build my self-confidence. Those are the things that build my self-esteem and allow me to show up the way that I show up as well. And yeah, I like to have fun. I allow my inner child to play. I think as an adult right now, I live through my inner child, maybe like 80 to 20%. My adult self is only like 20%, maybe even less. And my inner child pretty much lived the most of the time. People always ask me, Lyra, where do you get your energy from? I don't know. I always say, but it's the fact that I just live through a playful, I live through a playful life because coming to consciousness, especially in the space that I'm in and understanding how the world kind of works in a way, I don't understand it fully, but knowing that at the end of the day, there's only two things that truly exist. There's birth and death, right? When we live from that perspective, you know, at least for myself, it's like, I am going to have as much fun in between that time because I don't know when I'm living this world. What if I live tomorrow, right? What if I live in 2 days or 10 days or only 5 years, right? I never want to be that person that lay in my sick bed or in my dead bed and say, I wish I did X, Y, and Z. That is something that I learned from one of the clients that I work with because as a caregiver. Her name was Esther. Esther told me, never live with regret. Do every and anything that you want. If you want to do it, do it. I do like 90 billion things, not because I want to occupy myself with things, but because I have the will to do it. You know, okay. I can do it. So I get to do it. And I live in that space. And I try my best to also live in the now, right? Not to say that I don't experience pain, experience hurt, or have moments where I have self-doubt or self-criticism coming, but also the perspective I look at those things is like, I need those. I need those moments.
I get it.
I need those moments to wake me up. I need that moment to remind me. I look at it as a messenger. When I feel a pain in my back, I'm like, ooh, what is this pain telling me? Is it an emotional pain? Is it a physical pain? Right? Is it something I need to go see a doctor with? Right.
Hey, Lyra, I'm going to cut you off just real quick. We got to get out of here, queen. No problem. Can you tell us, how can we contact you in 30 seconds?
Oh, in 30 seconds, you can find me on Instagram, TikTok, at Lyra, L-I-R-A underscore N-D-I-F-O-N. Sorry, I love this topic.
No problem. We got to get out of here, queen. I am going to be seeing you soon. Have a great, great weekend, everybody. And you know, if you want to make some changes, nothing changes if nothing changes. All right. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.